Hi, everybody. It's Dallas Travers here with Josh Pice, and I have been looking forward to this call. So I want to just thank all of you for joining us. I have a couple of quick announcements, and I'm going to introduce Josh, and we're just going to spend the next hour talking about committed impulse and talking about how you, what to do with that energy that you're feeling in the room, at auditions, on stage, when you're performing, and how to really support yourself when all of that stuff is coming up for you. So this is going to be an extraordinary hour. I'm really excited to introduce Josh to you. We will be live tweeting during the call as well, so you can follow along on the conversation using the hashtag committedimpulse. And my Twitter handle is at Dallas Travers, and Josh's Twitter handle is at Josh Pice. You can spell his last name P-A-I-S. So I don't want to waste another moment. Let's dive in. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Josh before I hand him the microphone. Josh has acted in over 100 movies and television shows. He's recurring on two series right now, the new Showtime series Ray Donovan, which premieres at the end of June, June 30th, and a still untitled new series for CBS. This fall, you can also see Josh as the central character in Lynn Shelton's next film, Touchy Feely. Josh is the founder of Committed Impulse. The website for Committed Impulse is committedimpulse.com, and this is really a groundbreaking high-performance approach to acting and creating in the present moment. Now, the reason I'm so excited for the call today is because I was lucky enough to meet Josh, gosh, about a year and a half ago at RHH Live, which was an event, and we did some committed impulse work as a large group, and I can tell you that from my own experience in the room with him, and we're doing like karate chops and all these cool things, I could feel so quickly nerves or distraction or any energy that I was feeling that I labeled as negative. Boy, when I stepped into committed impulse, that stuff flowed through me so quickly. And it was such an enlivening and empowering experience to me. I left there thinking, every actor needs to know about committed impulse. So you guys are in for a treat. And Josh, I'm just really, really grateful to have you on the call today. So let's welcome Josh Pice.
Well, I'm just honored to be here. And thank you for that awesome introduction.
Of course. So this call, everybody, we want to meet you where you're at. And just Josh has so much information and insight he can offer you. So the majority of this call is actually going to be Q&A. But before we dive into Q&A, Josh, let's just create a little bit of context for people. Can you talk about committed impulse and, I know this is a huge question, but committed impulse and what it really is and how it can apply to an actor's life?
I'll give it a shot. It's really about being creatively invincible. And by that I mean being able to do your best work, really the work that you're on the planet to do, regardless of whatever it is that you're feeling, and no matter what you're thinking, what kind of thoughts you're having, it's a training that regardless of any aspects of the situation, that you can do your best work. And two of the biggest distractions or hindrances to doing your best work for most of us is, one is having a low tolerance for the sensations that happen in our body. And we tend to It's really in our culture, we're very trained to believe that certain types of body sensations are good and certain types of body sensations are bad. And when we're experiencing, first, the more that you put your ass on the line, so to speak, as in an audition or, you know, about to start shooting a big movie or a TV show, chances are you're going to experience more body sensation. And committed impulse trains you to I always say to party with the body sensations that are happening, because there's really, if you can really get that emotions and nervousness and anxiety, which are things that most of us believe are bad, if you can just get and, you know, through the training, you really experience that it's just, you know, on the bottom line, your body is a mass of atoms. And all these sensations are just energy that's spinning around in our body. And if we can just experience that sensation without trying to get rid of it, enhance it, or decrease it, it moves through us, like you said, Dallas, very quickly. But if we try to get rid of it, and so much of, there's such an element in after training of like constantly focusing on getting relaxed, which I think screws up a lot of us, because you're relaxed when you're relaxed, and then you're also not relaxed when you're not relaxed. And an actor's job is to tell the truth no matter what. And if you are feeling some nervousness and you create from that, your work, you're going to do your best work. But if you feel nervousness and try to manipulate yourself to some other state that you think is better, people won't be able to hear you as well, and you won't be doing your best work. So part of it is the, you know, increasing your tolerance for the body sensation. The other part of it is to, as soon as you're aware that you're in your head, in all of my classes, anytime that somebody is aware that they're in their head, out loud they say, "I'm back." And that just trains you to step out of listening to the chatter that's in our head. And Deepak Chopra did some study where he said we have 65,000 thoughts a day, and 98% of them we had yesterday. And those thoughts, for every person that I've come across that I've worked with, including movie stars and entrepreneurs and people starting out, you boil down those thoughts, and it's some version of "I suck." It's some version of "this audition's not going well. They don't like me. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough." And we have to train ourselves to shift our attention out of those thoughts, because they're, if we have our attention on our thoughts, they will debilitate us. And we have to shift our attention to the truth in our body, to increase our breath, to remember to keep breathing, and to engage with our immediate environment. And those elements will, in a sense, open the creative channel so that you can do your best work.
And also ultimately tell the truth. You know, so often in my work with actors, I experience so many of them beating themselves up after an audition is over. And I think a lot of that regret and that self-talk comes from a feeling of like not being truthful, right? Like, so my experience of the room was that I wasn't myself, whatever that means in the moment, but it, I think, comes from this desire to control what's happening naturally rather than, like you said, party with it. So
great. And you know, I have a theory about being, you know, my theory is that if there were two actors that a director was that had come in an audition and both did an amazing job, and one actor left the audition and just engaged in their life, you know, they just, you know, met friends, had some lunch, did, you know, work or whatever, you know, clean their house, whatever, and just engaged with what was in front of them, and the other actor spent time going like, "Oh my God, did they let in that moment? No, that moment was good, but then I don't know if I did that, and did I say goodbye, and the actor that does that, my theory is that if a director is looking at these two people and deciding, and it's a very intuitive process at that point, that I would guess the director would opt to cast the person that was more engaged in their life, as opposed to the actor that was pondering and wondering.
Yeah.
It sounds a little, you know, out there, but I think there's some truth in it.
Yes. That makes sense to me, even just on an energetic level, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like that's a pretty good foundation. Should we dive into some questions?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Come on.
So Ariel is our operator. So for those of you on the line, if you have some questions about this idea of having a party with the energy that's going on in your body when you're performing or in the room, we absolutely want to hear from you. The way you raise your hand is simply by hitting *0. This will put you in line to hear from Ariel, our operator. If you hit *0 twice, that's kind of like putting your hand down. So just know that if you hit *0 once, you're in the queue, and we're going to get through as many questions as possible. So while Ariel is checking in with some of you with questions, we did have a few Thriving Artist Circle members who sent questions in ahead of time, and I'd love to get started with a couple of those. So this first question is from Julie, Josh, and she said, how can I embrace the auditions and meetings when I want them so much and I need them so much? I'm in the habit of saying to myself, you're nervous, that means you're excited, but I'm also in the habit of saying, oh, I don't care. This doesn't matter. The tea or the party or the project after this audition is way better. And that doesn't seem to be, neither one seems to be the best solution. So what advice do you have for Julie?
Well, to say to yourself, you're nervous and that means that you're excited, just the fact that you're having that conversation, and it's like Einstein said that you can't, I don't know the exact saying, but it's something like you can't solve a problem within the context that the problem was created. And we think that we can come up with a mental, like a dialogue in our head that will get us to a good place. But the truth is that if we're having a conversation in our head, like trying to process, like, oh, you're doing great. Okay, everything's okay. Okay, I'm really present right now. You know, okay, I think it's going to go great and blah, blah, blah. If you're having that conversation, your attention is in the wrong place. So it's not about coming up with some kind of a mental, you know, thing that you're going to say to yourself. It's about, if you're nervous, experience the nervousness exactly as it is without going into drama about it. And that's key. Most of us, if we feel nervous, we then launch into a mental, oh my God, I'm nervous. I got to relax. But if you just feel for me, when I feel nervous, it's like a kind of buzzing energy in my upper chest. And if I just feel that little buzzing energy in my upper chest and see what's actually in front of me, then I can do my best work. But if I feel this buzzing in my chest and then I go into my head and go like and start having a little drama in my head, or like, it's going to be better later and everything will be everything, it's like that's going to really cripple the ability to do our best work. So it's training yourself, like I said earlier, about just coming back. Like, even though it might be uncomfortable what you're feeling, if you stay and train yourself to be like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable, so what? That's part of being alive. And you're going to just stay with that sensation as you go into the room. First of all, you're going to appear incredibly centered, which is what a lot of actors, it takes them a long time to believe that. But it is the truth. If you're honoring exactly where you are, it's like people are compelled to listen to you. But if you're trying to manipulate yourself to something different, it's like it's a distortion, and people, it's a little bit almost disturbing energetically for someone who's watching you, and that's what's happening in an audition.
Right, right. You know, I'm recalling when I first saw you speak, and you talked about the statistics or the research around how long it takes, is it a thought or an emotion to shift inside the body? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. If you fully let yourself experience a sensation, it will last 7 to 12 seconds. So your options when you feel nervous are either one is to experience that rush, and yeah, it's going to be intense, and then it's going to shift and move into something else and something else and something else. And you want that information to be your creative guide track. The other option is to try to push that sensation away, and I often use the image of it's like you're trapping a pigeon in your chest. You know, it's almost like you if you put a kid, you know, a pigeon in a little box, it freaks out. And then if you try to do that, you're going to be experiencing like this fluttering pigeon energy in your chest the entire you're on stage or the entire time and you're in the audience, and it will not help you. You want to just honor the energy, and it will keep shifting and shifting, and, you know, that's your creative, if you can look at it as that's a creative jetpack of fuel as opposed to anything bad, then you can, you know, then you can keep partying with whatever happens.
Yeah, it's like riding the wave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Good. Well, I do have a few more questions that came in, but why don't we hear from someone who's live on the call? So, Ariel, do you have our first question today? Just checking in with Ariel, our operator, to see if we have our first question. Okay.
Ariel had to go get a quick cup of coffee.
Totally, totally.
And she'll be back really
she'll
soon.
Be back shortly. She's riding the wave of her emotions right now.
Yeah.
So we'll give her 7 seconds to do that. All right, so let's take the next question that was sent in, and then I'm just going to give Ariel a heads up. We're coming at you next. So this one was from Zuri, and she said, what can I do to keep up my confidence when I'm not in the audition room? So how can I keep my acting on point? How can I find the flow in my acting where I'm listening and I'm super present with what's happening and allowing myself to express fully?
So the first part was what can I do to keep up my confidence when I'm not in the audition room?
Yeah, so I think she's referring to performing.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we need to really examine, you know, this notion of being confident. And I think, you know, I remember like years ago writing in a journal, if only I was confident, I could do anything. You know, when I was starting out as an actor, I was like, God, if I could just be confident. And as I've been experimenting with this committed impulse work, in a sense, I've redefined what confidence is. And confidence, if you can look at confidence as honoring exactly how things are, and let that be your definition of confidence, as opposed to some idea or some state of being in your body that, because the thing is, our body is in a constant state of fluctuation. And if we put a hierarchy on certain sensations, we're going to be disappointed because we're constantly fluctuating. So confidence is just one kind of color. Here's my poetic part. It's kind of one color in the rainbow of in the spectrum of sensation that we feel. And chances are, you know, you're not going to feel confident all the time. And extremely successful people don't feel confident all the time. And feeling insecure or scared doesn't mean you're not a professional. It just means that you're alive, because all these sensations are built into our DNA. And so there's really nothing, there's no bad sensation as long as it's not pain. There's no bad sensation as long as you can train yourself to increase your tolerance for the full spectrum. So whatever, if you can just hang out with whatever the truth is and let that be your, what you call confidence, it's like then you don't have to manipulate yourself to get anywhere. And then she said, how can I keep my acting on point? You know, I would say, if she means when she's not working or not auditioning, I mean, if that's what she's referring to, I would say to find a teacher that you really trust and that you feel challenges you and brings out your best work and you feel empowered by. You know, I wouldn't seek out a teacher that makes you feel less about yourself. I would find a teacher that makes you feel awesome about your work and at the same time challenges you.
Ah, great advice. So I want to piggyback on something you just said. I like this idea of, I'm going to call it labeling. So we have an experience that we then label as a confident feeling. And
uh-huh.
What I thought of was, boy, for me, I can feel confident today and feel confident tomorrow, but the actual feeling inside of me could be very different. I just label it as confidence.
Uh-huh.
Like sometimes I can feel confident and it's like a quiet, grounded sensation. And other times I can feel confident and really feel bombastic. So
right.
Can you talk about, and so we've talked about like riding the wave and really experiencing a sensation. Do you have a tip or a technique you can offer to really help us like tap into the physical sensation of what we're experiencing and try to avoid labeling it?
Yeah. Well, one is to it's really key to increase your awareness of the full spectrum of body sensation that's available to us. And the more that you do that, the more that you are going to be able to stay present. And our body is really the pathway. All the information in our body is the pathway to staying present, whereas, you know, the all the thoughts that tell us, you know, how much we suck is really the pathway to not being present. And so, I mean, I would say, you know, right now, everyone that's listening, you know, I would say just take a deep breath and feel where in your body that breath is moving. You can feel in each moment there's a predominant emotion in your body, and I would say just take a moment and breathe and feel what emotion is in your body. And then I would also go to feeling, instead of just calling it, say, you know, I feel joyous, for example, like to really see, like, what is the actual, how are the atoms actually moving in your body that you conclude with the word joyous, for example? Like, is it kind of a lifted feeling in your upper body? Is it an openness in your heart center? Or if you feel scared, is it, you know, is it, you know, you could even look at, like, what color is the emotion in your body, just letting your imagination kind of play with the sensation so that you can just honor the truth, which is, you know, what's happening in your body. And equally, you want to take in what's in your immediate environment and to really, in a sense, train yourself to see in high definition. And by that, I mean, so often we kind of glaze over what's in front of us without, in a sense, almost treating it like a sumptuous meal, that we're going to take in all the visual, all the lightness and darkness and where there's objects and no objects and what's light and what's dark and the shapes of things. And just by actually connecting to what actually is in front of you, it's going to also increase your connection to your body, and it will keep your attention away from your thoughts, which is what we want to do.
Thank you. That's really, I think, tangible, something practical people can walk away with. That's great. So,
and I'm, just one other thing is an exercise we do in class, which is just called stream of consciousness, which is just, and, you know, people can, you know, just do this on their own. It might feel a little odd, but you just stand up or, you know, while you're, you know, in your apartment or your house, and you just go, I feel, and just say what you feel in your body, and then, like, do it, like, 10 times every now and then. Like, I feel some tightness in my chest. I feel relaxed in my back. I feel nervous in my belly. I feel relaxed behind my eyes. Just whatever it is, it will just train ourselves to honor what's there, because most everyone is trying to manipulate themselves to some state that's different than what it is. And for actors, that's really debilitating. We've got to create, you know, like I said, your job is to tell the truth. It's not to manipulate yourself. And you start doing that, and it takes some trust in the beginning. That's what's going to lead to you working very steadily.
Well, let's see if Ariel's back.
Ariel,
we would love to take some questions from callers on the line. So if you have a question for Josh, you can raise your hand by hitting *0. Remember, you only have to raise your hand once, otherwise it puts your hand back down. So let's see if Ariel is around with our first question.
Yes, our first question comes from Jay. Jay, go ahead.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, how are you doing, Dallas?
Great,
Josh.
Thank you.
Hi, Jay.
Yeah, this is great. This is awesome because I get callbacks a lot, and when I was you've covered a lot of it, but I was kind of looking for a simple approach to performance, and I think you covered it a lot as far as like when the clients. It's a different feeling I get when I know the clients are in the room,
mm-hmm.
and I walk in to see some of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're doing this thing you just went through with the deep breath, because for me I like to I don't like to sit down because I just feel like it's just building up. Do you suggest, you have any suggestions on the physical part of this as to a simple approach to when you walk into?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The more a call, an audition is one level of, you know, and I say putting your ass on the line. But then once you have a callback, it's even a more bumped up level of putting your ass on the line because you're closer to the, you know, to getting the prize. And so one thing is I would just assume that in a callback that you're going to feel more stuff. Don't assume that you're going to be relaxed because you'll be, you know, disappointed most probably. And it's not about trying to discharge the energy or to do anything with the energy, but it's, in a sense, welcoming that energy. And the more that you welcome it, the more that it's going to shift into something else. So tell me what you meant about you'd like to stand up. What do you mean by that?
Well, I just feel when I, you know, because it's funny you said that because your butt is on the line basically because you look at what's usage and entertainment. You think, well, it could change your life basically economically wise. But I try to say have fun. But when I sit, I just feel like the energy is building up. I like to just kind of stand up and kind of move my body a little bit. If that makes
right.
sense.
Yeah.
It kind of keeps people away from talking to me too, because you know.
Okay. Well, that yeah. I think you know having chit chat before an audition, you know, with other people that are auditioning. I mean, it's not. I don't recommend that.
Okay.
Because they're not out for your best interest.
Yes.
But here's the thing: if you're trying to get rid of, are you trying to decrease the energy that's in your body a little bit? Like trying to get a little more relaxed?
I'm trying to let it just this flow, and
okay.
so I can be present when I walk in the room. I kind of like the energy because if I feel nothing, it's a problem.
uh-huh.
I just like to have it there so I can kind of just use that into the performance.
Okay.
So it's
And so where's the problem? Where does the problem arise? At what point?
I think it's just being consistent because sometimes it changes when I walk in the room.
What changes?
Oh, that's just, I think it's based on the people in the room and the people. I don't know. My mind starts doing different things.
But what are you saying that's changing? The sensation in your body?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so that's going to happen. Your body's going to keep changing and changing and changing. And if you can let it do it and equally stay engaged with the people in the room, you're golden. But if you try to, in a sense, suppress your body, however much, you know, because you think you should be a certain way, what's going to happen is you're going to decrease your ability to take in information in your body, and your attention is going to pop into your head. And when our attention is in our head, it's going to tell us some version of I suck, some version of, oh, they don't really like me, or why did they look there? They must be looking there because they're thinking about the next person that's coming in, or, you know, all that kind of nonsense. So
yeah,
better to stay with the intensity and the changes that happen in your body than try to get relaxed.
Okay.
And assume that it's going to change, and your job is just to ride it and not hide it.
Okay. Okay.
Is that helpful, Jay? Does that all
work? Yes, yes, very helpful. Very helpful.
Great.
Appreciate it.
So have fun with it when it changes. Expect it to change. And just assume that it's all the right. Just assume everything is happening absolutely perfectly, as opposed to going into like, oh no, there's a change. This means it's bad. Like, okay, all right, just ride it over here. Yeah, okay, I got some. My heart's beating faster. But the thing is, we think when our heart's beating faster that it's our shirt's pumping in and out. You know, but nobody can tell. Nobody can tell at all. They'll just be like, wow, that guy's really focused. Huh. If you just honor the heart pumping and see what's in front of you.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Jay, for the question.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you. So, Ariel, who is up next?
Okay, our next question comes from Davood. Davood, go ahead.
Hi, Davood.
Hello?
Hi, Davood.
No, that was me.
Oh. all right, it looks like we're having a connection issue with Davood. I know he's overseas. So, Ariel, who do you have next for us?
Okay, our next question comes from Jane. Jane, go ahead.
Hi, Josh. Hi, Dallas.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Oh, my gosh, this info is so great. You've covered a lot, you know, I guess pertaining to my question, but I'm still going to ask it because I'm sure a lot of people can relate to it.
Okay.
So I'm a singer, and there are two types of auditions that I go into normally, like for tours or, you know, theater shows or whatever they may be. Sometimes you have a longer time, meaning you get to sing one or two songs. But a lot of the time when you're going in for the first time, you get like 30 seconds. So they say, you know, give your best 18 bars. And on these instances, I experience, you know, shaking my hands, my heart beating faster, you know, my breath quickening up. And what happens is that when I have more time, I do feel that shift after I get going into something else. But on these instances where I'm going, oh my gosh, I have 30 seconds and I know they're really only going to have that much time for me, I feel that it undermines my ability to perform so much, meaning when I start singing, I don't even recognize the voice that comes out because I feel overcome with the thought, oh my gosh, I have such a short time and I want this to pass. And so I guess I was hoping for a little guidance for this particular type of situation where I'm expecting that it's only going to be about 30 seconds I'm in the room. And those instances have been particularly difficult for me.
Right. I totally hear you. so So one thing you said that you're having the thought, you might have phrased it, I have the feeling that I only have 30 seconds and I've got to really show them how great I am. And the thing is that you have to recognize that our minds want us to have all our attention on our minds.
Uh-huh.
Our minds want us, it will do everything it can so that we're listening to it kind of chatter on as if there was any value in it. But honestly, there's no value in going, the information that your mind provides, which is, oh my God, I only have 30 seconds and I've got to show them because I really am good. And if I can just show them, then what? So, it really comes back to, and if you wanted to have a practice, it's just catching yourself in your day-to-day life when you leave the current, what's immediate and go off into spinning into a thought about, worrying about something or what's going to happen in the future or what did I do wrong in the past or the past was better or the future is going to be better, whatever. And just come back, engage with what's in your body, really see what's in front of you.
Okay.
And, I'm kind of saying the same information, that I've said, but it's just it's in a sense, it's really simple and it just requires practice. And I would practice before you're, going into the room to see where you are, as you walk in to engage with what's actually in front of you. If you go into your thought, train yourself just to feel the sensation in your body. And chances are, what triggers us to go into thought is when we feel a body sensation that we have a low tolerance for, and we try to get rid of it. But you have to just assume that, and it's really true, that you're going to do your best work when you sing from your soul, when you sing from the sensation that's traveling through you, the energy that's traveling through you. And if you sing from that, you're doing your best work. If you're in your thoughts, going like, I hope this goes well, I really am good, you're not going to do your best work. And and your body will, might even seize up a little bit. You won't be able to breathe as well. And it's just, it's just being really brave, and it's like, I'm going to go in, and, another element which is very disturbing to our mind is the unknown. But but real creativity and this art form comes alive when you're able to embrace and fully step into the unknown. And so in a sense, it's like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to stay connected to the accompanist, however you say it. I'm going to stay connected to the room. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to feel whatever I'm going to feel, and I'm going to just sing my truth. And just to stay in your body and the room and have a good time.
Yes. Thank you, Josh. That helps
a lot. Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Thank you, Jane. Great question.
Thank you.
Really great. Josh, I just had this thought, and I want to run it by you to just check in.
Yeah.
You know, I live in Los Angeles, so I spend a lot of time in my car.
Right.
So in this routine of going to and from work, right, would that be if I'm in New York on the subway, in that environment, would that be a good place to practice, just noticing, how often my brain leaves the car and really –
Absolutely, and I think it would be, I think it would make you a better driver, for all of us. Because, I'm sure accidents happen when people are, they're just not there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, off in, worrying about something or, and the more that you're in your thoughts, the less visual information that you take in.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, you know, I think it's just, you know, I never, you know, tell people, you know, how I think they should live their life. But I think, you know, I look at acting in a sense as almost a spiritual practice in staying engaged with what's in front of you. And the more that you can do that, then going into an audition is just another part of your life. And it doesn't become like, you know, life, acting, you know, life, audition. It's like everything is, you know, you engage fully with what's there, and, you know, making your bed in the morning is as you're fully there. So then when you're in the audition, you're fully there, and when you leave the audition, you're fully there. And that really, you know, that's where the great work comes from. It doesn't come, you know, from, I know for me, you know, as an actor, you know, I've tried tricking the director. You know, I've tried coming up with, you know, oh, at this moment I'm going to be really intense, and then here I'm going to be really natural, and that has never booked me a job. The common denominator for all the movies and TV shows that I've done has been that I was present with the people in the room, and I told the truth when I was when I was auditioning. And that's been, you know, for me, my common denominator of what has allowed me to, you know, make a living for, you know, 25 years, whatever it's been, you know, as an actor.
Right, right. Well, thank you. That's great. So, Ariel, I want to give you a heads up. I'm going to share a question that was emailed in ahead of time, and then we'll take some more questions. So, Josh, this one is from Victoria, and
okay.
It's interesting because I love how this is such a this can be such a personalized process, and
okay.
Oftentimes the answers can sound the same because maybe it can be as simple as saying I'm back and plugging into what's happening in your body. But here's Victoria's question.
Okay.
She said, I get excited and talk fast, often too fast and loud for some people. How do I maintain my cool and be authentic without being contrived if I slow down?
Okay. Well, if Victoria were on the line, I would ask her a couple questions. Let me just throw this out as a possibility. So for some of us, when we feel something that we don't like, some of us get super animated and push tons of energy out and get really loud and kind of talk nonstop. Others of us, when we feel something that we don't like, get sleepy and very slow and somewhat lethargic. Now, I don't know if this is the case for Victoria. If she starts talking really fast and getting really loud because she's uncomfortable with something. If that's the case, then I would say that, Victoria, I would suggest that you practice hanging out with being uncomfortable. And uncomfortable is just an energy in your body. It's not bad. There's no bad sensation. So I would encourage Victoria to increase her tolerance for that. However, if Victoria's energy, like her natural truth, is to be, you know, her truth is that she's an energetic, lively person, then ultimately her success is going to come from her honoring her aliveness. So it's, you know, I've given two, in a sense, almost contradictory responses to the question, but
right.
It would really depend on, you know, Victoria saying, like, do I get loud because I'm uncomfortable, or is that just my energy?
Right.
And if it's your, if that is your energy, I would honor it. And she said, I don't want to feel contrived if I slow down. And then I would just say, well, just slow down, but honor what that sensation brings and create from there.
Right. Right. So what I'm hearing you say is it's really about, like, the motivation behind the action. Are you getting loud and talking fast as a way to avoid how you're feeling, or are you
mm-hmm.
just someone who's energetic? So, like, yeah. again, about being honest and real with the emotions happening inside of you.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, most of us, you know, go through, you know, a little bit of peaks and valleys of energy, you know, that, you know, that sometimes we are super energetic and sometimes we're chill, and
yeah.
that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you.
Sure.
So let's check in with Ariel. Ariel, do we have any more questions?
Yes, our next question comes from Raymond. Raymond, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Dallas. How are you?
Hi, Raymond. Great. Thank you.
Hi, good. Thank you, Joshua. A lot of this information has been great so far.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I just I had a question because I find that, you know, I do a lot of comedy for my scenes, and I find that, you know, at times when I do get nervous, I find that it often is in scenes where I am standing as opposed to sitting, because I feel like when I'm sitting, my energy is more grounded and just
uh-huh.
more focused. I find when I do scenes when I'm standing that when it does happen, when I do get nervous, that my energy is kind of all over the place, and it's not as streamlined and focused. And because I do a lot of comedy, most of the scenes that I choose to do, you know, work better when I'm standing. And but I do find that if I do get nervous, it usually is because I'm standing and my energy, like you said, I'm trying to manufacture something in front of the audience. And you hit it really right on the head when you said that people can sense that and it makes them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And is there, so my question, I guess, would be, is there anything I can do to kind of alleviate that? Because I want to be, you know, I think it's more powerful for an actor to stand, especially for something like a comedy scene, so I can kind of alleviate that.
Okay. So first I would say, you know, based on what you said, it sounds to me that you've set up the belief that if you're grounded, what did you say, when you're sitting, you're grounded and slower?
Well, I feel that when I'm sitting that my energy is just more grounded and it's easier for me to
okay.
kind of just streamline it and not have it be all over the place.
Okay, so you have the belief, as many people do, that if your energy is grounded, it's better than if your energy is all over the place.
Yes, yes.
Now, us humans tend to have both those experiences in our kind of experiential patterning. At times we feel grounded, and at times our energy is all over the place. And that's just a given. So the only way And I would let go of trying to alleviate it, because if you do alleviate it, if you do come up with some technique to not feel the energy in your body, your attention is going to pop into your thoughts, and it'll be something like, oh no, I feel that nervous energy, and that's really bad, or some kind of. Does that happen? Like, when you start feeling that, do you notice that you start having thoughts, like that something's going wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I feel disconnected to my body.
Right.
And then by that
right.
time, everything.
Well, here's what's happening. You actually, the disconnection leads to the thoughts. So you disconnect from your body because you've come up with the idea that when your energy is all over the place, that it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you disconnect from it because it's bad. And so your attention has to go somewhere. And since you've disconnected from your body, your attention goes, it just snaps into your thoughts. And then, as I've said, and you know, once you're in your thoughts, it's going to tell you that you suck or you're feeling the wrong thing or it's not going well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just, when that energy comes and it's all over the place, like that could be absolutely perfect for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just want to let it just honor that that's where it's going, and if you can stay with that energy, the audience is going to be absolutely riveted, and it will be funny. But if that energy happens and then you try to get rid of it and you disconnect from your body and you go into your thoughts, then the audience will also go into their thoughts and they will disconnect from you, and then the ritual kind of falls flat.
I see.
So even though it's uncomfortable to feel that energy,
uh-huh.
You've got to – the trap is when we try to alleviate what we're feeling. And the game has to be we're going to increase our tolerance for it. And if you really broke down what that sensation is, like if you just kind of like tapped your fingers on your chest, it's probably not much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But because you have an association that it's bad, you automatically try to get rid of it. And as soon as you try to get rid of it, you end up in your thoughts.
I see.
So it's going to take some practice. But the more that you practice that, the more creatively invincible you'll become.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And it's going to take a little leap of faith in the beginning. And one thing you can do is that in your day-to-day life, if you feel nervous, is in a sense to let yourself really feel it, like welcome it, in a sense almost be intimate with, and for everybody that's listening, I would say whatever sensations that you try to get rid of, in a sense if you can shift so that you become intimate with those sensations. Like, oh, I feel scared. Well, what is that exactly? Like, oh, it's just some energy in my chest. It's actually not that bad. Then when it happens while you're creating, it'll just be more information for you to create with as opposed to the notion that anything's going wrong.
Right.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, it sure is. It totally does. So instead of just trying to fight it, it's more like just embrace it and work with it, you know. And
exactly. It's all
good.
I think what was happening
was I was assuming that them seeing the energy being all over the place was, you know, making it a bad scene or whatever, when I think what was making it a bad scene was seeing me trying to fight that energy and not embrace
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Perfect. I'm reminded, guys, of that quote from Hamlet, nothing is ever good nor bad, but thinking makes it so, right? So
yeah.
You're all over the place, and that's not good or bad, it's just happening. But, boy, as soon as you decide that all over the place is a bad thing, you're down a different road. So.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you, Raymond. Great question.
Yeah, great question.
All right, so I want to we probably have time for a couple more questions, but I just want to jump in quickly because – I wish, Josh, we could keep you on the line all day, but don't worry, everyone. Josh has a special class for you. It's a free class to help you just take what we're covering today even further. So if you visit committedimpulse.com, you can scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a big red, black, and white button that says My Free Class. Is that right, Josh?
Yeah,
My Free Class. Click on that, and you'll get some free audio training from Josh, really walking you through what we're just scratching the surface of today.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, why don't we take a couple more questions? I know I'm cutting it close with you, but I want to get as much as I can.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Ariel, who is up next?
Our next question comes from Natasha. Natasha, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for – well, first let me just say thank you for doing this. I really appreciate having this call.
My pleasure.
I what I notice happens to me sometimes, and doesn't always happen, is I walk into the room to do my audition, and I start shaking, like, and it progressively gets worse, and it's, and the first time it happened in my hand. It happened in the hand that I was holding the script in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was clearly visible. And the second time, it was not as noticeable, but it happened in one of my my right leg.
Uh-huh.
And I was very connected, but when that happened, I started to panic.
Right.
And
when you say panic, does that mean that you started having thoughts that were like, oh, my God, this isn't going well, and what's happening, and blah, blah, blah?
Well, when I panicked, it was going well, but when I noticed it happening, I ignored it, and then the trembling started to get worse, I looked at the casting director, because I'm wondering, like, can she see it now? Because I know the actor is noticing it,
mm-hmm.
and I could see the actor looking at my hand, and so,
and
it went from a very, you know, the beginning was awesome, and from there it just didn't go
right. So, well, first of all, we've all been there, mm-hmm. and the more that you audition, the less that will happen. And, but that kind of shaking is most of the time what's actually happening is there's a, you're feeling something that you don't allow yourself to feel. And it's like what I was saying earlier about the trapped pigeon. It's like maybe you went in and you felt great and, you know, it was going really well. And then you started to feel something that you didn't like so much or wanted to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it's like our body is, you know, full of electricity. And whenever we try to hamper it, it's like that you're blocking the flow and the energy starts, you know, building because it has nowhere to go. And very often that's what causes somebody to tremble or, you know, their voice to crack because they've missed the moment when they've tried to suppress themselves.
You know, now that you're saying that, I'm starting to think about it, and I do recall – being a little upset because I was given the script. I was given less than, like, 3 minutes, and it was a 2-page script.
Right.
So I felt like I should have been given more time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what I was suppressing when I first started. And then and then maybe I started to panic when I realized, okay, now I'm getting to the part that I didn't really get to read yet.
Right.
And maybe that's when it started happening. But
right.
You know, I'm working through this in my mind right now as you're talking. Like, I'm realizing maybe that was what I was suppressing at the time.
Right, right. And it's really tricky, you know, that whole audition thing. Like, if the audition is running late and you're waiting,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, so many actors get so upset and they just get, you know, just pissed off at the casting people and you know, or, you know, they're given, you know, they come in and read something and then they go, you know what, you're better for this. Here, go out, come back in a minute after you read it and do that. And, you know, we just, as actors, just have to train ourselves to stay present and know that it's, you know, we just got to roll with however it rolls.
Right.
And, you know, even, you know, working on movies, or particularly on TV shows, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the writers and producers are there. You can do a scene, and then the writers collect together. They change the lines. They say, okay, we're going to change it to this. All right, let's shoot it again. And and you can either, you know, fight with them in your mind, or you just jump in and do, you know, do your best.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of tricky to – it's almost you need to welcome the unexpected and just always, in a sense, say yes. It's like, okay, it's now it's going to be this? Okay, all right, let's go down that road and just explore. And that, it also makes it more fun.
Yeah.
To, you know, to just do that. And I would also just, you know, forgive yourself and let go. It's like I said, everybody's had the audition, you know, many auditions where they were shaking. And
I'm glad you say that because I get nervous now. I'm like, I hope it doesn't happen again.
Right.
And sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, so, and when you start having that conversation, just say, I'm back, because having that conversation is of no value.
Okay.
Just like, I'm back. Engage with what's in front of you. You know, wash your dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do something so that you don't let yourself hang out in those kind of thoughts.
Okay. Thank you
so much. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah, you're just there. Really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. So, it looks like, oh, I'm just going to throw one more in, Josh.
Yeah, come on.
I think this is more of the, like, it's another version of the same question, but this one was from Brandon, and he said, how can I start my scenes with more energy but still stay grounded?
Okay, so that, I mean, within, you know, the Committed Impulse training, there's a whole series of exercises to alter the energy in your body and then tell the truth about that energy. And that's how, in a sense, you create a character. So, I'm going to have two answers to this. One is, my first answer is, why do you need to start your scene with more energy and still stay grounded? Like, why that, you know, who says that it has to be that way? You know, maybe some acting teacher said that, but I don't think that's true. I think a scene, if you're honest and your energy is low and you fully tell the truth right from where you are, it's going to be awesome. So I wouldn't set up that every scene has to have more energy and stay grounded. The counter side to that, it's kind of hard to do on the phone, but I would say, and maybe everybody can just practice this right as I'm saying it. One is just feel your feet on the ground and play with the image that you're rooting energy down to the earth below the floor where your feet are, so that you feel a profound connection to the ground. And that's really what grounded is like somebody that feels the earth below the floor that they're walking on. But there's also value in terms of creating a character to be completely ungrounded. So as long as it's a choice, somebody ungrounded might be the perfect choice for that scene. So, and to be ungrounded, it's almost like in New York City where I am now, it's like people running around Midtown, it's like as if their feet aren't even touching the floor. And when you're ungrounded, it speeds up your energy, and it almost creates like a slight unease, but it can be really fun at the same time, and that could be correct, you know, that could be a great choice for the character. And then there's another tool that we play with, which is called a tempo rhythm, which is each person has an inner speed or modality that they operate out of. Some people are very, very fast. Some people are very, very slow. And some people are, you know, and most of us fluctuate. But you can just play with speeding up your, it's hard to do in a, you know, explain this in a minute or two, but you can practice speeding up your inner rhythm, and just, then you have to just tell the truth about what that speed up does. So that's one that I would want to answer by kind of leading you through an exercise, but that's my short answer on that one.
Great place to get everybody started. So, all right, so before we wrap up, I just want to remind everyone, take advantage of the free class that Josh is sharing with you. You can get that at committedimpulse.com homepage. Right down there on the bottom, you'll see a big button that says My Free Class. And then, Josh, before I let you go, I'm just curious, for those actors who are hungry for more, where can they get more Committed Impulse from you?
Well, I mean, there's a couple options. One is I've created what I think is an amazing online program, which would kind of lead you through a lot of what we talked about in a very in much more detail and just great tools to be a working actor in this online program, which is also on the website. And then in July, I'm teaching a character and business course in New York, which is just how to create, I kind of was talking about a little bit with the grounding and so on, but tools to create a character, like how to do that and to honor your truth at the same time. Because a lot of times when actors create a character, it's really they're hiding behind a choice. And this, my approach is to, in a sense, alter your inner chemistry and then tell the truth about that alteration. And that, of course, also involves like creating a character for yourself to play with in terms of to keep going, handling all the business stuff, like all the stuff that you would tell them, you know, all your great advice, Dallas, just to give them like an inner charge to keep going, even if there's rejection or disappointment. So that's happening in July, and then I have courses in LA and New York, you know, throughout the year, and you can just, it's all on the website.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and great. I'd love to work with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. And I've taken a look at the free class, and that's it's just really good training, you guys, so make sure to grab that. So, Josh,
yeah.
I know how busy you are, so I just want to thank you for your generosity of spirit and giving us your time and offering up some really actionable techniques and like a new way to think about maybe our old habits around what it means if we're feeling a certain way. So I'm a Josh Pice super fan, and I just really want to thank you for sharing Committed Impulse with us today.
You're so welcome, Dallas, and everybody else, and it's just my pleasure to share this information.
Right. All right. So with that, I think we'll say goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yeah,
and,
thanks, everyone.
This is Dallas Travers and Josh Pice signing off. Everyone have a wonderful Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.